About a year ago, Michelle Putz and her husband, Perry Edwards, installed photovoltaic panels on their roof in an attempt to collect solar power. It's been a year, and the thought of solar power in a place like Sitka, Alaska, might catch many people off guard. Well, Michelle Putz is here to talk to us a little bit about how it worked out in the year past. And so, Michelle, 1 year you've had solar panels on your roof. How has it turned out?
Well, if you look at the calculations, it's come out about what people said it would, which doesn't mean a lot. No. What it's come out to be is about 1,000 kilowatt hours in a year, which is about what was predicted. So it's a fair bit given we live in a rainforest, but it's not a whole lot given the potential.
So you went into the project kind of thinking of it as an investment and admitting to yourself, I mean, I remember when you were putting them up and you said, we're just going to see how it goes. Has it been worth it to you?
You know, it's been an experiment. I have learned a fair bit. I've learned a lot about what to do beforehand, what to do with them. I love the technology. And I can tell you that if I lived in California or Arizona or somewhere, I think I would be putting this in. As soon as I move down south to a place that has real sun, I think I'd do it because I think the investment is well worth it in a place like that. Up here, it's given us a learning opportunity and it's still creating power, but probably the investment is definitely not worth it, both environmentally and cost-wise.
We don't get a high frequency of sunlight here, but in the summer, if you have a good sunny day in the summer, you've got maybe 16 plus hours of exposure.
Yeah, I mean, if you had the right spot, we were collecting almost 10 kilowatt hours in a day in one sunny day, but we just don't have that many full sunny days.
Right. So what made you decide to do it in the first place?
I think the reason we decided to do this in the first place is our interest in renewable energy and trying to get off of having a carbon footprint when we make power here in Sitka. And with hydro, we have great power most of the time. But if you have a dry year or you start running down your big battery of lake water, we're going to need something else. And so I wanted to see if there was some backup possibilities for Sitka.
Did you notice a difference in your bills?
Absolutely. I mean, every bill was almost every month has been lower than it was before. Some of that has to do with some other conservation we've been trying to do as well. But definitely during the summer, we were way down from what we even could do minimally. So there, it can add a lot, but we never did get to a point where we were making more power than we could use in a whole month.
In your report, you kind of end with a recommendation to people. You said, it was a good idea for your household. You enjoyed it, but you also kind of acknowledged that this might not be the thing that has widespread usefulness in a place like Sitka.
Yeah, I would, if somebody lives down south, boy, would I say, really consider it. But here in Sitka, conservation's probably our best move. Add some insulation because it's always going to be cold, but it's not always going to be sunny.
I know the electric department helped you set it up, first of all. They had obviously some concerns of their own to make sure that your system and their system would play nicely together. But have they been paying attention to what you've been doing, and what are their thoughts? What do you hear from them?
The city's been great. One of the things that they did for us was they put our website on their website. So the city actually has a link at their www.cityofsitka.com, and you can go into the electric department page and actually track through the year what's been going on at our house. So it's given them an opportunity to see if this is something they would have ever thought about. I don't think they would took it very seriously in terms of let it create power, but in terms of on a little personal basis, they did. Yeah. It's been interesting. It's been fun. They've been good to work with.
You know, we think of solar power. We think of the panels charging a battery, and then that power gets stored and used. Your system's a little bit different.
Yeah. What we ended up going with is a grid tie system. It goes directly into the power grid, and we essentially use it back from them. So you don't need to have batteries. It has these great microinverters which are attached to each one, and they're so much easier to keep an eye on in terms of maintenance and other things. So it's definitely a technology that I would be recommending to folks, because it's hard to keep up the maintenance on batteries, but on these microinverters, they can tell you if you've got any issues. So it's great tracking.
Speaking of tracking, you kept track of a lot of the data pretty meticulously. And in your report, you've outlined some things, including carbon offsets and some dollar amounts. Can you kind of take us through some of the things that you managed to accomplish?
Yeah. So one of the great things about these microinverters is that it does track things through for you. So I was able to pull a lot of this right from that. So over the 1 year that we've had the system, it's reduced our carbon offset is about 1,428 pounds, which they claim is about 17 trees. So that would be a carbon offset, I'm assuming, for somebody who lives in a place where coal is being burned to create power. But again, if you were in that situation, it's a pretty exciting thing. And if you were in any place other than a rainforest, you'd probably be getting a lot more in any given year.
We've heard a lot in recent months from the city and from others even about Sitka's demand for power sometimes outpacing the ability to which the city can supply it. Is this one step toward conservation or one step toward using less per household? Has this changed your mindset about the way you use power?
One of the things that this has forced us to really do is to really look at our electric bill and see how many kilowatt hours we're using in any given month, and to really pay attention to, boy, you turn on that electric heat and you go from 700 kilowatt hours in the month to 1,500, you know, like that. It's next to nothing. But that is a high cost. And if there's extra water behind the dams, great. But when there's not, you're essentially just forcing us into using diesel, which is going to cost us more money here soon. So it's definitely, it has increased how much I want to conserve to get closer to what I'm creating. It's kind of a fun thing. Then it also ties in with that whole electric car. It is kind of fun to think that I'm driving an electric car powered by the sun.
How much value would you need to extract, or how much energy would you need to extract, I guess, from your solar panels in order for the $12,000 investment to pay for itself?
Boy, that's a good. So if you are creating about 1,000 kilowatt hours in a year here, and it's at 10 cents an a kilowatt hour, essentially I've only saved $100 off my bill this year with that power. If our power rates go up, which we're expecting them to, depends on how high they go. So a place like Angoon or somewhere, if you're paying 70 cents a kilowatt hour for power, it pays off, you know, a fair bit quicker. Mm-hmm. But here in Southeast Alaska, it would take, gosh, so that's $12,000 times $100 a year. Is that 120 years?
I guess there might be some people listening to this going, $12,000 for $100 savings a year. What's she thinking?
Yeah, I mean, really, I really did this as an experiment. That's a lot of money in a place where you're paying a lot more for power and you're doing a lot more with carbon as your or coal as your source of electricity. And where you get a lot more sun, I'm betting somewhere it does make sense. But, the more I learn about it, the more I realize that you have to do it in a place that makes sense. But I still can't say that it hasn't been fun to have them and to learn a lot.
We all get excited about sunny days here in Sitka. I would imagine in your household it's a little more meaningful.
Oh, every time the sun comes out towards my house, I'm like, I'm making power. So that was always fun. And I was actually pretty amazed. The solar panels in the old days, if they got shaded at all, you weren't really creating anything. I'm pretty amazed that even on the sunniest day in the winter, I am making less power almost every sunny day in the winter than I could be even on the grayest days almost in the summer. So those winter low light day, you know, low in the sky sun days really don't create the power that you want here.
So we're talking sunny overhead, and overhead diffuse light is better than low direct, that kind of headlight effect that we get in the winter.
And, you know, I think there's ways to deal with that. If I'd had a way to lift my solar panels so they faced that sun more. But at the same time, we get 65-mile-an-hour winds during the winter, and I don't want them to suddenly become a sail and take my roof with them.
Yeah, fair enough. Priorities.
Right.
All right. Well, Michelle Putz and Perry Edwards, two homeowners in Sitka, one home, a husband and wife, who have put solar panels on their house. It's been there for a year, and so far, so good. An interesting experiment.
Yeah, now I just have to hope for those crazy sunny days, but then, you know, my garden will grow, but we need the water for those fish.
Michelle, thank you so much.
Thanks.